Our primary focus in this campaign is the Bible. So if you have your Bible, everybody just say the Bible. And one of our key verses in this campaign is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, okay? And before we take a closer look at this verse, I want to say this. This is the single most significant verse in the New Testament concerning the wholeness, the fullness of Scripture, okay? By the way, Paul, this amazing man of God, he wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament, and this is his very last letter. His last book is 2 Timothy, and he's writing to a younger man, Timothy, and he's writing this letter while he's in prison. He's in prison, and he's saying, Timothy, these are some things you need to know. Be encouraged, because Timothy has a very weighty responsibility. He's currently pastoring a church, a very large mega church in the city of Ephesus, okay? So Paul, the general, is saying, hey, here's what I want you to hear. So here's the words. We can read it. I'll read it out loud. You can follow with me. Paul says that all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for four things. It's useful for teaching. It's useful for rebuking. It's useful for correcting. And it's useful for training us in righteousness. And then he gives us the primary purpose of the Word of God, and that is so that the man of God, and you can include and certainly the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what we did last week, if you were with us, we looked at the very first part of that verse, and we discovered something. We discovered this, and this is in your notes, that the Bible was written by how many different people? Does anyone know? 40. The Bible was written by 40 different people, but it was written over a period of how many years? 1,600 years. It's written in how many languages? Does anyone know? Three languages. We have Hebrew, we have Greek, and we have Aramaic. Those are the languages in which the Bible was written. And it was also written on three different continents. I think it was like, I've heard like 14 different countries, but three different continents. And here's the thing, we learned that it has 40 different writers, but there's only one author. And who's the author of the Bible? God. He's the author of the Bible. So when these 40 people who were involved in writing the Bible, when they went about writing the Bible, it wasn't just about their thoughts, it wasn't just their ideas, they weren't carrying out their agenda, but they were given direction by God what to write through the Holy Spirit. And if you're taking notes, a great verse to write down is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, where Peter says this, the writers of the Bible, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These people just like us, made up of all different backgrounds, different races, people just normal people like you and me, they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. So I want you to get this, that the Scripture is consistent throughout a period of 1,600 years because God's involvement, okay? People weren't writing what they wanted to write. God was in on it. He was in on it from Genesis to Revelation. That's why the one reoccurring theme in all 66 books of the Bible is what? It's the redemption through Jesus Christ, that there's forgiveness of sins through Jesus. And you see that beginning all the way in the book of Genesis chapter 3. Boom, right after Adam and Eve fall, we learn about Jesus. He's going to come and save people from their sins. It's throughout the whole Bible. It all points to one person. And the subject of the Bible is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. It's not us. It's Jesus. So we need to get excited about Jesus. Amen? So can we get a woohoo for Jesus? Okay, well, maybe not. Maybe something better like, yeah, all right. So that's last week's message. Now what I want to do today is I want to look at the end of verse 16. And then we'll have this apex, this concluding thought from verse 17. So that's our text today, the verse that's in front of you. And what I want to do today is I want to look at four things that the Bible is useful for. Four things that the Bible is useful for. So I want to say this at the beginning of my message this morning. The Bible is a very useful book. It's not a book that's supposed to stay on our shelves because, as some wise man once said, a dusty Bible leads to what? A dirty life. Wow. Dusty Bibles lead to dirty life. So the Bible's a very useful book. And we're going to look at four things that the Bible is useful for. Number one, if you're taking notes, the Bible is useful for teaching. This book is an amazing book for teaching, okay? And the Bible really teaches us the answer to many, 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 many questions. There's the deep questions like, is there a God? What's this God like? How was this world created? I mean, how did everything begin? Why is there death? Why is there suffering? People ask all the time, why does a good God let people suffer? People ask all the time, well, what happens when somebody dies? What lies beyond the grave? Is that the end of their life? I say, no, that's a transition to eternity. So all these answers are found in the teachings of Scripture. Then there's the more practical things in life that the Bible teaches us about. For example, how do I have healthy relationships? How do I have healthy friendships? Well, all those answers are found in the Bible. If you want to have healthy friendships, read the book of Proverbs. It's throughout Proverbs that the writer Solomon says, hey, if you want to have healthy friendships, this is how you do it. How many people have money? I'm the only one with money? I doubt it. But how many people know God gave you the ability to make money? And how many people know this? All that money is His. And the Bible, ooh, I love that. You can say amen anytime today. Preaching gets better when you say amen. How many people know the Bible gives us teaching how we can effectively manage our money? The God that gave you money says this is how you use it. This is how it works. God is so good about helping us out in every area. How many people are faced with decisions all the time? Decisions are a big part of life. They make or break you. Decisions. The Bible teaches you how to make wise decisions. Last one. How many people have ever been faced with temptation? Anyone? How many people even today? Even today, even since you've been to church. And I tell you what, the Bible teaches us. It's a great teacher. How do you face? How do you become victorious? How do you win in the areas of temptation? All these things are found in the teachings of Scripture. So the Bible provides us teaching on these topics and hundreds and thousands of other ones. And here's the deal. The Bible's like no other book in the sense that it's written by God. And I want to let you know that when God speaks what? Truth. Everybody say truth. When God speaks, it's true. And listen to what Jesus says in John 8:32. We know the verse. And the truth will what? Set you free. How many people want to be free? I want to be free. You want to be free. We all want to be free. Even if we didn't want to raise our hands, we want to be free. And that's why we can find the truth in God's Word. It's a teaching book. It teaches us in the setting of church. It teaches us in the setting of small groups. It teaches us in the setting of just one-on-one, you and God, your Bible opened in the morning, allowing God to teach you on your own. But it's also valuable to teach in small groups and in church. This book is an amazing teacher. By the way, you'll see in your notes this morning that under each point, I have a benefit. So let's look at the benefit of teaching. And the benefit of teaching is this. It shows me the right path to walk on. That's the benefit of the Bible. It teaches you the right path to walk on. I want to tell you this. There's many paths that life presents to us. There's many paths that we have to choose between. There's many paths that the world says, take this path. And culture says, take this path. And there's a lot of people saying, this is the path you should take. But here's the thing about the Bible. It teaches us the right path. God is so good. God is so loving. God is so kind and gracious that He wants all of us to walk on the right path, the path that leads to life, the path that leads to victory, the path that leads to success. And God has given us that path through the teachings of the Word. So let's move on. Number two, the Bible is useful for reproof. Have you heard that word before? Reproof. The Bible is useful for reproof. That word simply means to expose. So when I read the Bible, where's my Bible this morning? When I usually read my Bible right over here where that banner is. I have a chair I pull out through the week. And when I come in the morning, I sit in that chair and I have my Bible and I read. Like, for example, right now, if you're in small groups, you're reading through the book of what? Philippians. You're reading through the book of Philippians. And as you read, sometime what happens is the Bible brings reproof. That means it exposes certain things in my life. It exposes certain behaviors in my life. I don't know about you, but I have sinful behaviors in my life. And as I read the Word, the Bible exposes those things. And not only does it expose those things, but it's also a book that's alive and active, and it also convicts me that I'm wrong. And I like this because some people would say, well, why would you want to be exposed? Because I want to be exposed because if I continue in the way that I'm walking, I want to let you know sin will mess you up. Amen? Sin will mess you up. Sin will get you off the path, and sin will get you in a ditch. It will get you in a ditch. So look at the benefit of reproof. Everybody fill in the blank there. The benefit of reproof, it shows me how I got off the path, and now I'm in the ditch. So I was reading this week, several days as I was reading this week, there was things that God was reproof. There was reproof going on. There was reproof through God's word. And here I thought I was on the path, and God says, you know what? You're kind of in the ditch. And I don't know about you. I want to be able to be responsive to God's word. If I'm in a ditch, I want to know I'm in a ditch. Amen? Some of us are in a ditch, and we don't even know we're in a ditch. And that's not a good place to be, because there's a path that leads to life. There's a path that leads to Jesus, and you want to be on that path. And don't be afraid of the reproof of God's word. It's for your good. It's for your benefit. It's because you have a good, as we sang this morning, you are good. He's good, amen? And he's perfect in all of his ways. And he wants to show you how to stay on the path, because if we're in a ditch, man, that could set you back a lot of days, a lot of years. And God doesn't want you in a ditch. He doesn't want you in a ditch. He loves you. Amen? He loves you. Number three, purpose of the Bible, or not the purpose, but thing that it's useful for. The third thing, the Bible is useful for correction. Everybody say that word, correction. See, correction's the positive side of reproof. Correction comes along and it tells us how we can get right with God. It tells us how I can get right. If I'm in the ditch, how I can get out of the ditch. You hear what I'm saying? It tells me how I can reinstate myself in my relationship with God. But it also shows me how I can get right with other people. Maybe I'm in the ditch and I've hurt other people. And I need to get that right. Maybe it also helps how I can get right within myself. And so what the Bible does in correction, it helps us to restore us to the proper path of God's ways. It gives us correction. Let me ask you a very personal question this morning that I think is well worth the asking. And that is, don't think about anybody else, but think about yourself this morning. Are you open to correction? Let me ask that again. Are you open to correction? I have found out that we're a culture that we're not really liking correction. It's hard for people to say, do you know this about yourself? Or even more importantly, the Bible saying, hey, do you know this about yourself? Are you open to correction? And I can only speak for myself. I want to be open to correction. If I'm in a ditch, I want to know I'm in a ditch. Does that make sense to you? If I'm in a ditch, I want to know it. And the Bible is a great way of correcting me and bringing correction. So let's look at the benefit of correction. It's how I get back on the path. See, reproof showed me that there was sin in my life. I got off the path. I'm in a ditch. But then there's correction. And it says this is how you can get back in on to the path that God has for you. It gives me correction. And I know there's everyone in here this morning, you want to be on God's path. Amen? But you got to be open to rebuke. You got to be open to correction. Okay? Number four, and we're going to be done very early this morning. Is that okay with everyone? Does anybody feel left out if we go too short? Oh, somebody's saying, oh, I was hoping we'd stay till at least 11. Okay? Who was that? Oh, yeah, whatever. Here we go, number four. So let's do a quick review. Number one is what? It gives us what? Teaching. Number two. Number three. And number four, you can fill in the blank, it's useful for training. How many people like training? Training is rigorous, but it's beneficial. It hurts, but it's good. See, training points out what's wrong, but it also points us to the right way. You've been going this way, but training points to the right way of living. And there's no better guide to showing us the right way of living than what? The Bible. This book will show you the right way of living the scripture. It provides us with training. See, here's the benefit of training, you guys. Training is how I stay on the path. See, I was on the path. I fell off the path. That's reproof. Then I got back on the path. And now training is about how do I stay on the path now? I don't want to quit living this way. Off, on, off, on. I'm down, I'm up, I'm down, I'm up. But now the Bible wants to train us. How can we stay on that path? How can we stay on the path that God gave us that leads to life and victory? How can we do that? Well, the Bible provides that for us. It's how we stay off the path so that we don't have to be in the ditch again. So the benefit, you can fill in the blank. I'm not sure if I did this already. If I did, excuse me. It is how I stay on the path and I don't fall in the ditch again. I don't want to fall in the ditch again. Okay? That's the benefit of training. So let's review these four things quickly. The Bible is good for teaching. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. The Bible is great for training. And all these things are to help us to stay on the path that leads to life, the path that leads to your goodness, the path that will lead to you leading a life that you'll look back on and say, wow, God is good. So that's the benefits here, so that we'll stay out of a ditch. God doesn't want us in a ditch. So let me share with you what this looks like in my week this week, okay? Just give you a personal example. I'm a person that, like you, I desire to walk on the path of God's Word. I believe God's path is better than any other path. First of all, ask yourself, am I convinced of that? Am I convinced that God's path is better than my own path? And hopefully your overwhelming response is absolutely. God's path trumps your path every time. It may not always be easy. It may not always be convenient. It may not always be comfortable. But God's path for your life is the path. I want to tell you, if you don't believe it, it's the path you want to be on. Okay? So that's my heart. I have this heart, God, I want what you want. You have that heart that, God, I want what you want. So what happens is time and time again, or not time again, but once in a while, I fall off the path into the ditch. Okay? And what I need when I'm in a ditch is I don't want to lay there deceiving myself, thinking, wow, life is good. I want there to be reproof, so what do I have to do? I have to do what? Daily read the Scripture, because the Scripture will provide me with reproof, and then it will provide me with correction. And here's what it looks like in my life this week. We're reading in small groups. We're reading through the book of Philippians, and I came upon a verse in the first chapter of Philippians this week that gave me great reproof, great training, and correction. It says this in Philippians 1, or it says in Philippians 1:10, Paul writes to these Christians, he says, I want you to understand what really matters. So here I am on Friday sitting in my chair, and I read that verse that Paul says, I want you to understand what really matters. And I'm thinking, Lord, many times the reason I end up in a ditch is because I begin to pursue things that don't matter. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Or I get caught up in things that I think are so big and so important, but in the light of eternity, in light of God's light. And I read that verse this week and I said, Lord, I'm in a ditch. And the reason why I'm in a ditch is because I'm so caught up into things that don't matter. I'm caught up into this situation. I'm caught up into this situation. I'm caught up with all the things that are going on in media. And I really begin to feel God's word begin to rebuke me, to correct me. And saying, hey, Mike, you got to come back and zero in on living your life for the things that really matter. And how many people know the things that really matter are our relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what really matters. That's what really matters at the end of every day for eternity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I've made this the thing that really matters. God, I got to come back to the thing that really matters is you, Father, is my relationship with you. And what that did is that brought reproof. It brought correction. And hopefully it's bringing training into my life so I don't have to be in those ditches that are very emotional. How many people know ditches bring emotional stress? They bring hurt. They bring pain, not only to you, but to other people around you. God's saying, hey, get living for the things that really matter. Be reminded of that again. And what that happens is that brings direction again. So let's look at the question in your notes as we close this morning. Why is it important that you and I remain on the path and out of the ditch? How many people, by the way, you want to be on the path? Say, yay, Lord, yay, God, amen. How many people don't want to live in the ditch? Yeah, I do. I don't want to be in the ditch. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He loves you being in the ditch. He He doesn't want you walking in God's goodness. So why is it important that we remain on the path and out of the ditch? The answer is found in verse 17. Paul writes his concluding remarks to Timothy. He says this. Is it on the screen? Everybody together. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This time, let's include the ladies. So that the man of God and the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You can close your Bible. You can put your notes away. I want to conclude today by saying that there are good works. There are good things that God has for each and every one of us. Can I say that again? There's good things, there's good works that God has for each and every believer to carry out. Amen? We're not just here carrying out our agenda, our desires, our wants, our ambitions, our dreams. But there's something greater here in life when you come to Christ. And that is that God wants you to, He has things that He wants you to do. He has good works. He has good things that He wants you to do. And how many people know it's going to be hard to do those things when you're where? In the ditch. When you're in the ditch, it's not going to bring much glory to God. When you're in the ditch, you're not going to be doing what you've been called to do. But I tell you what, when you're on the path that God has for you, has for me, for each and every one of us, it's amazing what He wants to do through you. Ordinary people, everyday people, God wants to use you. But He's going to use you when we're walking on the path. So let's just bow our heads this morning. You know what? If you're in a ditch this morning, I just want to say to you, thank you, Rosie. If you're in a ditch this morning, I just want to say, I don't believe that's where God wants you to be. I believe God wants you on the path that He has, the path that leads to life, the path that leads to Jesus. And right now, I believe the Holy Spirit's present. See, God speaks to us through the Word, but He also speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He convicts us, and I believe God, the Holy Spirit's at work even right now, and He's speaking to people's hearts. And right now, you know that I'm not on the path. I'm not on this path that God had intended for me. I've fallen off into a ditch. I'm no longer on that path that God has for me. I've been sidelined. I've been in this place of ineffectiveness. I'm in a place that, in the ditch. And I want to let you know, God wants you to get out of the ditch, and He wants you to get back on the path that He has for you. Amen? So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to have Rosie play without me speaking for like 30 seconds. And I just want you just to use this time wisely. You don't have to speak out loud. But speak in your heart to God directly this morning. And say, Lord, I just know there's something in my life that's just not right. I'm in a path. I'm off the path. I'm in the ditch. And God, I just want to confess that to you today. And I want to repent of that. And God, would you put me back on the path that you have for me so that I can use my life for your glory. For your glory, for your beauty. To live to glorify you. So let's just take time right now and allow God to speak to our lives. This morning, is there anyone with eyes closed that would say, you know what, right now I know I'm in a ditch? Is there anyone raise your hand and says, I know right now I'm in a ditch? Don't be ashamed, we've all been there. Anyone just say, I'm in a ditch right now, I want to get out of the ditch. So God, I just want to pray for those people who you have spoken to their hearts. That is so powerful. And Lord, we never want to exempt your voice from hearing your voice in our lives. God, I just pray for those people that you would know that they would know that they are forgiven, that you care for them, and God, that you would help them to get back on the path that you have. have for them. Be with them, Lord. May they not live in condemnation, for there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God, you correct us because you love us, because you care for us. So, Lord, we're not ashamed today. We know that we all stumble and fall. I confess, Lord, I've been in the ditch even this week. But, Lord, we want to get on the path that leads to life, that leads to health and wholeness and goodness. So, Lord, just speak to us. And now, Lord, I pray that we'd be people of training. That's what this whole campaign is about. We're training. We're in the Word. We're in the Word. We're in the book of Philippians. We're studying verses. And Father, I pray that you would use your Word each and every time that people open their Bible this week, that you would use your Word to teach, to reprove, to bring training, correction. How many people would say, you know, this week, well, as I open the Word, I want God to speak to me. Is there anyone here this morning? God, I just want you to speak to me as I open your Word this week. He wants to do all those things. So, Lord, use your Word. May we commit ourselves to be in the Word that leads to our good, that keeps us on the right path. In Jesus' name, and everyone said. I do want to encourage you. No, I grew up in church. How many people grew up in church say, yay, God? I grew up in church, heard pastors for thousands of years that I've been live saying, hey, read your Bible, read your Bible. And I've almost like, oh, as a kid, I was like, why read my Bible? Well, we learned four reasons today why to read your Bible, to keep you on the right path. Amen? So I want to encourage you today. You say, well, I don't know where to start. That is a very commonly common thought that people have. I don't know where to start. Well, let me give you some suggestions. If you're in the small group campaign, stay in Philippians. If you're not, pick up your Bible, read the Gospel of John, any of the Gospels. We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, these writers telling us the life of Jesus, showing us their perspective of the life of Jesus. Get into the Gospels. Maybe start reading a book called Proverbs, a book full of wisdom. You can read one proverb. There's 31 for 31 days of the month. Read a proverb, read a psalm. See, we don't need to be overwhelmed and think, well, oh, how long do I read? If you're not reading now, why don't you just start with 2 minutes? I tell you what, one verse can transform your life. I know the verses we've been studying, those verses in the back of the book, the homework. If you meditate on that one verse, it's amazing what God will do. It's amazing what he'll show you. Amen? So I want to encourage this. I'm not a condemning guy. I hope I'm not. I don't mean to say this condemningly. I mean to say this because it's what's good for you. And that is, it's good for you. How many people are going to eat today physically? Every one of you. The rest of you are liars if you're not going to eat. But how many people know we have a spiritual man that needs to be fed? You have a physical man that needs to be fed, but you also have a spiritual man that needs to be fed. And you've got to feed that spiritual being in the Word of God. Amen? And I think some of you are probably eating 3 or 4 times a day. Amen? I am. So I want to just suggest, let's get an appetite. Let's get a spiritual appetite in this campaign that I'm going to be in the Word of God because it is alive and active. Amen? So why don't we stand this morning? Thank you for being here this morning. You could record this day, October 1. We left church before 10:35. How many people know you don't have to be long to be good? Amen? So join hands with your neighbor and let's pray this morning. Thank you for being here. God's word is your friend. God's word is good. Amen? So, Lord, I just pray that you would increase within us an appetite for the Bible. I just pray that. Squeeze your neighbor's hand, meaning I want that for you. Lord, I just pray that you would increase our appetite for the Bible, even if it's 2 minutes. 2 minutes. If you don't have 2 minutes, you need to rethink your schedule. You need to create some margin for God. So, Lord, I just pray, God, that you put an appetite in us for your word. And, God, as we read the word, we pray for that dynamic of the Holy Spirit because the word is alive. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a book that has a heartbeat, has a pulse. It's a book that's alive. So, Lord, may we just begin even today. Why not today? To just look maybe at one verse, two verse, a book of Proverbs, whatever, a chapter. Use your word in our lives. We don't want to remain spiritual infants. We want to grow into maturity. We want to look more like Jesus. So Lord, give us an appetite in Jesus' name, we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
God bless you. Have the best week of your life. God bless you.